This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 368. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
When Bruce met Ivy, The Return of Sue Dibney, Samaritan Takes a Nap, Hail Hank, Blow Out the Candle Shield, and the numbers are in. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, August 30th, 2015. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs. You can subscribe via iTunes, where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Well, we're back with 2 weeks of comics to cover, so let's get started with Batman 66, number 26, by Parker, Hamm, and Fitzpatrick. So this is more from the Digital First Adam West comic.
I think this is one that you'll talk about every time it comes out. You just really love this one.
Pretty much. So another villain jumps from the comics to the TV show. In this case, it's Poison Ivy.
It would have been interesting to see Poison Ivy in the actual TV show. I wonder who they would have gotten to play her.
Ooh, that's a good question.
That period of time, the actresses, who would have been a good
one? Anne Margaret.
Okay.
That would be my guess. We begin with an apparently dead Louis the Lilac, who was played by Milton Berle on the TV show. He was murdered, and the killer left a kiss on his cheek. The Cape Crusader detects various plants in the lipstick, and one of Lilac's goons is hauled in for questioning. And I love how Chief O'Hara gives him lukewarm water, not the cold water you asked for.
Sort of like, you know, this is their nasty interrogation technique.
Yes, he's playing bad cop. Apparently, Lilac had a plant supplier and stopped at an all-night custard shack during his pickups, which just happened to be next to an abandoned greenhouse.
Of course.
Bruce remembers his family going to that greenhouse when he was a kid.
Yes.
And a little red-haired girl. They investigate and get caught in huge vines. And then Poison Ivy appears, and she's getting revenge for her father's death. She's figured out a way to grow her own goons, literally grow them.
And
as
that is
plants.
Great. I thought that was like the perfect 66, you know, that era goon for Poison Ivy.
The dynamic duo escape a Jupiter flytrap because a Venus flytrap isn't big enough to describe it, and track down Ivy, who's riding this walking tree through Gotham City. She drops into a discotheque. It's the Meow Wow Wow, Catwoman's old club. She uses spores to make the kids go nuts. Batman beats up the plant goons, and he's able to do so because he's got herbicide on his costume.
Well, that's how they escaped the Jupiter flytrap.
Right.
Because they had, luckily, Batman was carrying an herbicide in his
utility belt
that Robin was able to kick and open up. Okay,
Ivy is foiled by Alfred in the Batmobile, who uses a grow light to direct the walking tree. Oh, and Lilac isn't dead. He's just in a catatonic state, which Ivy reverses because people don't die on the old...
No.
You know. Then she plants one on the Dark Knight. A good story, but I can't say much for the artwork. It seemed like Ivy came out well, but not the rest of them.
I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking as I read it that the artwork wasn't as good as it sometimes is in that one.
Yeah. Secret Six, number 5, by Simone Eaglesham, Derenick, and Wright. The gang's having a weenie roast in the backyard when Catman sees a woman's photo in Alice's room.
Well, it wasn't really Alice's room because she was sleeping in Ralph's room.
Oh, that's right. And Alice says, oh, that's his wife. She's totally dead or something. Well, Catman knows better and confronts Big Shot, who goes nuts and attacks Catman. Alice separates them. She turns into, I think she turns into Hawk of Hawk and Dove.
Ah.
And again, Black Alice's ability is to basically turn into any magic user in the DCU and get their powers. Although I've never really tied Hawk and Dove to magic, but I guess it's kind of mystical.
Yes.
Catman saw the woman with Mockingbird earlier, and Big Shot admits that Riddler is Mockingbird, as we already knew. After a quick scene with Riddler and the mysterious woman, Big Shot tells his story. He's Ralph Dibny, as was already established.
As I told you when we first talked about this comic.
That's true. And the woman is Sue Dibny, of course. Turns out the whole group was separately on Riddler's ship to steal and or save the India Star Diamond. So that's why they're all connected, because they were on this ship at one point. Riddler proposed to Sue on the ship, and then the lights went out and the diamond was gone. An explosion damaged the hull and all went for the lifeboats. Sue was apparently killed in a second explosion, but obviously not. Then the gang goes to Riddler's hideout, and Ralph and Sue reunite. And then our heroes are ambushed. Turns out this was a trap, and Ralph sprung it. And now on to a wedding?
So, my question is, what happened to Ralph? Because obviously he doesn't have the same powers he used to have.
In the New 52, apparently he's more like Plastic Man in that he can make himself into anything as opposed to just elongate various parts of his body.
Yeah.
Astor City number 26 from Vertigo by Busiek, Anderson, Ross, Sinclair, and Comiccraft. This is the 20th anniversary of the title, which went from Image Comics to Homage / Wildstorm, and then now to Vertigo, with a very eccentric schedule. It's been 20 years, but if you added up all the issues, I don't think there's 100 issues total over 20 years. So we go back to a sequel of the first story called In Dreams. Samaritan, who's of course the Superman analog, flies in his dreams as before, but now his partner Wing Victory flies with him. And in the dream, there's always an explosion that wakes him up. Asa Martin, his secret identity, he keeps snapping at people. He screws up a job as Samaritan with the Honor Guard. And so he's now worried about putting others in danger because these dreams are really throwing him off. So he goes to Augustus First of the First Family, which is their version of the Fantastic Four, for tests and answers. He's told he needs to go offline for several hours in order to do these tests, but that can endanger the world. And fortunately, the hero community steps up to help. And at one point, they even send out decoys of Samaritan, kind of like the old Superman robots, to fool the villains. We get a number of cameos of heroes, both well-established and brand new, because Busiek just keeps cranking out new heroes. Samaritan goes into this chamber for testing, and he dreams again, and now the whole Honor Guard is there, and the explosions return, but they're just out of his reach to do anything about it in this dream. And it turns out a pseudo-virus had infected him, and that's what was screwing up his mind. The virus is pulled out and contained, and Samaritan's given a clean bill of health, and now he has a free night because the rest of the heroes are protecting the world to just fly with Wing Victory.
And I thought it was really interesting because he says, like, well, and it kind of worked out that he had to go offline and that the rumor got out about it because all these people who thought he wouldn't be there to protect them came out of the woodwork and did their crime, so they were able to capture all these criminals.
Right, so it actually helped the world.
Yeah.
Now, the only problem is he realizes he was infected after the dreams began. So he had the dreams before the infection happened.
Yes.
So we're not sure about that. But he does dream again and all is well for now. Just a fantastic story from a fantastic title. Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra, number one from Marvel by Mandel, Walsh, and Wilson.
This is a very rare instance of us actually sharing and reading a Marvel title together other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, of course. The Secret Wars event is in full swing, and there's a Secret Wars logo on the cover, but you don't really need to know anything about that to enjoy this very funny one-shot. And it's all about a lowly goon in Hydra, and what appears to be a normal job with normal problems, except when heroes and villains get involved. Hank's got a wife and kids, he's got school events and daycare, he attends this funeral for another Hydra goon, which is officiated by MODOK. And he's singing Amazing Grace. That is very funny.
Yes.
Hank's wife pushes Hank to move up in Hydra because, hey, there's an opening because that guy got killed.
Yeah.
They get called to school because Hank made peanut butter sandwiches. You know, allergies, don't you know? You got it.
This is a peanut-free school.
That's right. Hank attends a Little League game, and the Little League teams are the junior agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus tiny Hydras.
Yes, it seems like that you can be personal friends with S.H.I.E.L.D. agents.
Hank takes his kids to the wrong birthday party and has to figure out how to get the presents back. But he does get the dead goon's job. Only trouble is that Madame Hydra is his boss, and there's a case of sexual harassment. They take the kids out for trick-or-treat. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agent shows up as Magneto, and he begs out of the boring event that he agreed to go to earlier. And they don't really say what the boring event is. That wife is like pushing, well, you need to have somebody else come to this boring event. Turns out that the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent swiped the basketball game tickets that Hank was supposed to get. Madame Hydra introduces a new world-destroying device. The Avengers break in. Hank and his wife escape. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agent tries to stop him, and Hank punches him out for taking the game tickets. And then the Johnsons end up at the boring event with the MODOKs. MODOK and Madame Hydra are apparently married, and they're at the same table, and there's the whole sexual harassment thing. Awkward. And back at the job, Hank's buddy offers him tickets again, but Nick Fury jumps in and ends up shooting the guy. Hank's last thoughts are, wonder if I can still get those tickets now that he's dead.
Yeah.
just a very goofy issue. The idea, and I really think this is a rich vein. This is only a one shot, unfortunately. And I think this could be a great ongoing, personally.
I don't know if you could make it ongoing quite so much, but it would be nice. Maybe quarterly or something.
Yeah. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 9 from Marvel by Wade, Ferguson, Mounts, Ewing, Caselli, Mosa, Lee, and Akers with Kirby and Steranko. This is the 50th anniversary of the first S.H.I.E.L.D. appearance, so we get this supersized issue with three stories. Kind of reminded me of DC's 100-page Super Spectaculars in the 70s. First story, two pages of classic Silver Age art from apparently an unpublished Kirby Steranko pilot of S.H.I.E.L.D. This leads Coulson to a secret file with undecipherable text and a mysterious meeting. And throughout this story, we cut back to classic Silver Age art as flashbacks. We meet a man that might be an immortal Da Vinci or just a nut. Mm-hmm. He hypnotizes Coulson and then tells him that S.H.I.E.L.D. has been around since ancient Egypt, and we get some shots in what I assume are references to Marvel history.
Yeah, but we don't know that much about Marvel
right.
history.
We learn Da Vinci takes something from everyone he meets as a payment, and that's how Nick Fury lost his eye and Tony Stark lost his heart, etc. Of course, Coulson turns the tables and saves Maria Hill from execution by Da Vinci, who can apparently teleport. Second story, Maria Hill goes to Area 51 to thaw out a life model decoy of Dum Dum Dugan from the original 40s Howling Commandos. Apparently, Nick Fury made up a whole set of Dugans with a central memory storage, so you can kill one, thaw out another, and repeat.
Which seems kind of mean.
Yeah.
But...
they then release some monsters on S.H.I.E.L.D.'s payroll, actually just in their prison, one of which was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and is now a zombie. Their mission is to track down this other monster at a deserted airport, and the other monster is a Tony Stark gamma experiment gone wrong. At one point, Dugan is killed, and another decoy is just defrosted, and in the end, Dugan decides to stay around and run this new monster squad, which will become Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming in October.
Ah.
So it's a spinoff of this title. Third story. This is the first S.H.I.E.L.D. story by Lee, Kirby, and Ayers. We're introduced to the life model decoys from the previous story. That's the first time we see it. As well as the helicarrier and an early version of the Lola car, not to mention Hydra. So all these concepts are thrown at you, and that's Lee and Kirby all over. Just like, here's a bunch of things we're going to throw at you in the first issue. And Nick Fury, who at that point is just an army colonel, is persuaded to lead this team of super agents. The story is just filled with classic Kirby art. It's just unmistakable as Kirby art, and I really did enjoy that. Well, the numbers for June are in, thanks to DiamondAndComicsBeat.com. So this is the first month post-convergence, and the beginning of DCU, So let's see how it went. At number 4, Justice League of America, at 150K, this was a number 1 issue and a new storyline by Hitch. At number 5, Batman, 142K, this is the first issue of Bat Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Justice League, 97K, where the Dark Side War begins.
Yawn.
Number 23, Harley Quinn, Power Girl, 71,000, a 6-issue mini. Number 24, Robin, Son of Batman, 70K. It's its first issue.
I'm just going to stick right in there and say that comic is confusing the hell out of me.
I might be dropping that because I'm confused myself. Number 17, Harley Quinn, 68K. Of course, that's a continued storyline. They just continued from before the big event. Number 28, Batman Beyond at 59K. So third time's a charm to try to get this title to work as a comic. Now with more great disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And at number 31, Detective, 57,000.
So it seems like there's a notable lack of DC in the top. Is that what I'm seeing?
Notable
here?
Lack of non-Batman DC in the top.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, number 170, Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman, 10K. This is running the same attrition rate as the Superman Digital First title, which got canceled at 17 issues. This is issue number 10 of Sensation Comics.
So it's likely to be
gone. It's likely to be gone fairly soon, unfortunately. Number 126, Lobo, 19K. This is the lowest mainstream DC title. Number 110, Gotham by Midnight at 22K. Why isn't this selling better?
Because it's Gotham, but it doesn't have Batman.
I guess.
But it's so much better.
Absolutely. Number 94, Prez at 31K. This is the first issue of a 6-issue miniseries, which was 12 issues. So they've already cut it by half.
Mm.
Yeah. And at number 79, Batgirl at 33K. Yay! The whole Batgirling thing is tanking. By the way, that's a new term. It just came out this week because DC announced they lost $2 million recently. And they're blaming the Batgirling phenomenon where it's creatives, do whatever you want, no continuity, DCU, let's do whatever you want. And they're thinking, well, maybe we need to regroup and go back to the basics.
Yeah.
There are now rumors that, in fact, Superman will be fully powered, back in the costume.
And nobody knows he's Clark Kent.
At least that's the rumor.
Well, if it goes back to that, maybe you'll read it again.
Exactly. I am just about ready to drop it until they do so. All right. Before we get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? I don't think you'll ever guess this one, Mark.
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yeah. TV related?
Yes.
It's one show?
Yes.
Is it a new show?
No.
So it's a returning show?
Yes.
Is it on one of the broadcast networks?
No.
Is it on pay cable?
No.
Regular cable?
Yes.
It's on regular cable. Is it a genre-related show?
Yes.
Is it superhero-related?
No.
Is it supernatural-related?
Yes.
It's supernatural-related, and it's a returning show on... Is it Walking Dead?
No.
It's not Fear the Walking Dead?
No.
Okay, because that's a new show. Okay, so the supernatural, is it vampire related?
No.
Okay. Is it set in current times?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. And not really vampire, but... there must be vampire in there somewhere.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. Is it Doctor Who?
No.
Okay. genre related. It's supernatural related. Are zombies involved?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe it doesn't work. Is it some anthology?
Yes.
Is it American Horror Story?
It is. But now you have to guess who's on the cover.
Isn't Lang in it?
Well, remember, it changes casts every year.
Well, yeah, but I don't... Lady Gaga, I think, is
yes!
in it.
Yes! Wow, I'm so impressed you got that. Oh, and you had like 3 seconds to spare.
Yikes.
Wow, I'm impressed with that one, Mark. I didn't know Lady Gaga was going to be in American Horror Story this year.
Wow. All right. Want to remind you, go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or check out tumblr.com/blog/sfppn. And you can always call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9 SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.